Grace and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Our sermon today is from Matthew 7, 15 to 23. I invite you to start looking for that in your copy of the Bible, or scrolling for it, or opening your app, or whatever else you do to find the Gospel of Matthew 7, 15 to 23. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week. I remind you that Jesus is setting before His followers the sanctions of His new covenant treaty. Blessing, life, and good for obedience. Curses, destruction, and evil for disobedience. Throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been calling us to change our minds about everything, to repent our sins, to turn to the Lord and trust Him. And today, as we're going to see in our sermon text, Jesus calls us to change our minds about prophets. There are two kinds of prophets in the world. On the one hand, there are false prophets who call us to enter the wide gate and to walk the broad road that leads to destruction. And there are many who heed their call. On the other hand, there are true prophets who call us to enter the narrow gate and to walk the hard road to life, and a few heed their call. With that in mind, I want to talk to you today about deceivers and discernment. Now hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of His word, and may He grant us the grace to obey it. Do we have any Calvin and Hobbes fans in the room? A couple? Do the rest of you even know who Calvin and Hobbes are? Comic strip. Well, in the comic strip, little Calvin goes to take a test at school. And he looks over the test in one frame and he says, oh good, a true or false test. At last, some clarity. Every sentence is either pure, sweet truth or a vile, contemptible lie. One or the other, nothing in between. In the next frame, he reads over the test, reads over a few sentences, but he doesn't answer any. In the last frame, he takes out a coin and he flips it in the air. Calvin has learned the hard way that a true or false test only provides clarity if you know the truth. Likewise, we are going to see in our text today that Jesus is setting before us a true or false test. We are confronted in the world with false prophets and true prophets. And we are supposed to discern between them. There is nothing in between. It's one way or the other. But sadly, many of us take Calvin's approach when it comes to testing the prophets. Instead of doing the hard work of studying and learning the truth, we take our chances and flip a coin and hope that it all works out in the end. Now you notice in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus draws our attention on the false prophets. He focuses on the prophets and He does not mince words. There are many reasons for this, but one of the main reasons has to do with the fact that Jesus wants to make sure that His new covenant treaty remains intact and in force for future generations of His people. And so He issues a warning about false prophets. He knows that the true prophets, like the apostles, are going to teach and preach His word to the people. That they're going to call His people to repent and to walk the straight and narrow road. In other words, they are going to echo Jesus' message throughout all generations. His concern is not the true prophets, but the false prophets who will not echo His word. And that is why He warns us to watch out for them. Now keep in mind, when we talk about a prophet here, we're not talking about someone that can tell the future. We're not talking about someone who has strange insight into things. In this passage, Jesus is simply referring to preachers, someone who claims to speak God's word to God's people with God's authority. But not everyone who claims to be a prophet is called to be a prophet. You know as well as I do that our world is full of prophets, full of people who claim to speak for God. Some of them are true, many of them are false. One theologian named John Murray said that the difference between truth and error is not a chasm, but a razor's edge. The same can be said about the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. It's often the small differences, not the big differences, that matter the most, that really determine whether someone is preaching the truth or preaching error. True prophets are those who are called by God and then carried along by the Holy Spirit as ministers of the Word. They preach and teach God's Word as God's Word. But false prophets are called by men or even by themselves. And they're often carried along by something else, like selfish ambition or sinister motives. They preach and teach their word, their dreams, their ideas, as if they were God's word. It is in light of this ugly fact that Jesus gives us a stern warning about false prophets. Watch out for the prophets who deceive others, and watch out for the prophets who deceive themselves. The prophets who deceive others never come with a sign over their head that says, "I am a false prophet." They always come to you looking like gentle sheep on the outside, but on the inside they are vicious wolves. They want access to your heart and mind. They want to get as close to you as possible so they can do you the maximum harm. They want you to trust them so that they may devour you. Now, when Jesus was standing on the mountain or sitting on the mountain teaching this crowd of people who had gathered in front of Him, He was preaching to a people who knew all too well that from the beginning, false prophets had always been in the world, and that they would always be in the world until the end. The very first false prophet to ever appear on the scene of human history came in the form of a serpent. He was the first false prophet. He deceived our mother Eve with one subtle yet subversive question. And the question was, did God really say? Did God really say? And it was that one question that tricked her into doubting God's word and tricked her into denying God's word and then eventually tricked her into disobeying God's word. You might say that the serpent was the world's first liberal theologian. He was a pioneer in the field of higher criticism and the hermeneutics of suspicion. Did God really say? Well, from the serpent came many other false prophets, each one taking his cues from the original false prophet, mixing lies with truth and asking subversive questions. Did God really say? Did Jesus really say, enter the narrow gate? Is the road to life really all that hard? Does Jesus really expect you to obey everything he commanded? After the serpent, fallen angels came into the world and mixed the true story of God's creation with mythical stories of man's imagination, and the whole world was plunged into idolatry, violence, and corruption. The magicians, Jannes and Jambres, squared off against Moses in Egypt, and they performed counterfeit signs and wonders to oppose the truth of God in an effort to dishearten Israel and to deceive the people. Korah led a rebellion to disparage God's ordained prophet and priest and to discourage God's people from paying attention to them. Thousands followed them into rebellion and ruin. Balaam the prophet was hired to curse the people of God. And like a televangelist, he prophesied whatever he was hired to prophesy. He led many people to deny the Lord, to worship idols, and to indulge in sexual immorality. And thousands upon thousands followed his way to death and destruction. Can you see where this is going in the history of God's people? Generation after generation saw their own brand of false prophets arrive on the scene, who rose up among the people of God. Prophets who urged the people to serve the idols of culture and to worship the gods of the nations. Prophets who cried out to imaginary gods made in the image and likeness of man, who danced around bloody sacrifices and altars and cut themselves with knives. They performed sex acts to their idols and offered their children in sacrifice to the gods. They saw false visions and lying divinations, and they said, "Thus declares the Lord," when the Lord had not sent them. And yet they expected God to fulfill their word. They sugarcoated the truth with lies. They whitewashed the walls to hide the cracks and the fractures. They swept the truth under the rug. They sold lucky charms and prayer cloths and magic beads. They promised peace and prosperity when there was none. God did not send those false prophets, and yet they ran. He did not speak to them, and yet they prophesied. If they had stood in God's counsel, they would have proclaimed God's word to God's people, and they would have turned God's people from their evil way and away from their evil deeds. But instead, these false prophets preached lies in the name of the Lord, saying, "I have dreamed, I have dreamed." And they preached their dreams, and they published their visions, and promoted their dreams, and produced their visions instead of the word of God. Does this sound at all familiar to you? And still more false prophets rose up among the people. They came in the form of mainline liberals called Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection because they didn't know the scriptures or the power of God. They came in the form of neoconservatives like Pharisees, who worshiped God with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. They set aside God's word for the sake of their own traditions. They were blind guides who strained out gnats and swallowed camels. They were whitewashed tombs who appeared beautiful and radiant on the outside, and yet on the inside they were rotting corpses. They were a brood of vipers, spawn of the serpent. And so it goes. And so it goes. Generation after generation, more and more false prophets rising up among the people of God, perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have time to walk you through the New Testament and point out all the false prophets who preached a false gospel of salvation by Jesus plus something else. Those who preached Jesus plus special rites and religious diets. Those who preached Jesus plus dreams and visions. Those who preached Jesus plus secret knowledge. Those who preached Jesus plus harsh treatment of the body. Jesus plus something else saves. The New Testament is full of false prophets who wanted to add something to Jesus because for them Jesus was not enough and the gospel was not sufficient. I don't have time to tell you about all of those false teachers, but I do have time to echo Jesus' warning to you. For just as false prophets arose among those people back in those days, so there will be false teachers among you in the 21st century. False teachers who will smuggle in destructive heresies and exploit you with their fake plastic words. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for false prophets who come to you preaching full-on lies or half-truths, who proclaim their dreams on the internet, TV, and radio, who publish their visions in best-selling books, who promote their dreams in social media, who produce their visions for the silver screen, who plunder your wallets by your generosity, who poison your heart and your mind with half-truths and shortcuts, who peddle the word for profit and profit from your gullibility. Watch out for prophets who call you to leave the hard road for the easy road, to leave the few to join the many. Prophets who deceive others often deceive themselves. They come to you looking like followers of Jesus Christ, but inwardly they are venomous serpents. Yes, they are prophetic, and they are dynamic, and they are charismatic. They preach sermons and predict the future in the name of Jesus Christ. And they cast out demons and control dark powers in the name of Jesus Christ. And they perform miracles with power and speak in tongues in the name of Jesus Christ. They deceive others. And they deceive themselves because they believe, often sincerely believe, that what they are doing is the will of God. And yet Jesus makes it clear that it's not the will of the Father they're doing, but the will of their father, the devil. They're like the prophets who give you a sign or a wonder. And the sign or wonder that they tell you comes to pass. And then they come to you and say something crazy like, let's go after other gods and let's serve them in our way. These false prophets are among the many who enter the wide gate and among the many who walk the easy path all the way to destruction. And all along the way, what are they confessing? What are they saying? What are they singing? Lord, Lord, all along the way, praising His name, doing many flashy things in His name, doing things that seem right in their own eyes, that seem good in their own eyes, things that the Lord never called them to do, things He never authorized them to do. They prophesy in His name, but not according to His word. They cast out demons in His name, but not according to His will. They perform miracles in His name, but not according to His work. So when they reach the end of the road, and they cry out, Lord, Lord, let us inherit the kingdom. Lord, Lord, look at all the works we have performed in Your name. Lord, Lord, let us into life. In that day, Jesus will confess to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you workers of lawlessness. You workers of lawlessness. You see, what they call good, Jesus calls evil. And what seems right and good to them is wrong to Him. What seems lawful in their eyes is awful in His eyes. Now we might be amazed by prophetic speech and dynamic powers and charismatic signs, but Jesus is not amazed. He is not impressed, not one bit. So even though they do all these things in the name of Jesus, The reality is that what they do is done by the activity of Satan, who works through them to deceive those who are perishing. Why? Because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So Jesus warns us, watch out for false prophets who do their own will instead of the will of the Father in heaven. Watch out for false prophets who do not obey the commands of Jesus Christ. Watch out for false prophets, for they will be condemned and cut down and cast into the fire. And so will all who follow them through the wide gate down the broad road to destruction. Now this calls for discernment and discretion. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, Jesus actually expects us to judge. Yes, to judge people. To judge between sheep and dogs. Between the wide gate and the narrow gate. To judge between the easy way and the hard way. Between false prophets and true prophets. To judge between good fruit and bad fruit. So as you consider all the variety of teachers around you, myself included, and your other ministers, don't hold back in your judgment. All prophets and teachers and preachers ought to be judged strictly in light of God's Word. And anyone who doesn't want to be judged strictly should find another job. Let not many of you become teachers, my brothers, for those who teach will incur a more strict judgment, both from God and from man. So don't hold back. Judge, criticize, evaluate, assess the life and the doctrine of the teachers that are around you. Charles Spurgeon said, "Discernment is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, discernment is telling the difference between right and almost right." The difference between a true prophet and a false prophet is often like telling the difference between true and almost true. And Jesus would say, almost true is not true enough. Almost true is false. So how can we tell the difference between prophets? Well, it would be nice if somewhere in the back of our Bible we had a master list that said, these are the names of the personalities and organizations that promote false teaching. It would be nice to have a list like that, but we don't. And we don't have it because the church is mixed. We can't point to a movement or a sect or a denomination and say, go here, this is where the true prophets are. Stay away from that group because that's where the false prophets are. And so we practice discernment, don't we? We evaluate, we critique, we assess what we're hearing from various pastors and teachers and ministers and scholars and theologians and thinkers. We're constantly evaluating them in light of the Word of God. So if we're going to discern between a true prophet and a false prophet, if we're going to exercise discretion in our evaluation of these people, we must learn to do what Jesus commands us to do. And that is judge, assess, critique, discern, and evaluate the moral and doctrinal fruits of all of these teachers and preachers that you encounter, but do it in light of God's Word. Don't do it in light of the way they make you feel. Don't do it in light of the fact that you like their slick marketing. Don't do it in light of the fact that they have nice white teeth and a cute wife. Do it in light of God's Word. Don't do it alone. Do it as an individual, but do it as an individual in community. Practice communal discernment. And as a community, don't do that alone. Do this kind of discernment along with the help and guidance of your pastors. Why? Because they've been trained and equipped for this kind of work. Too many of you venture out on your own and find yourselves eating spiritual junk food, some of it even verging on poison, because you thought you could figure it out by yourself. You're in the danger zone. Watch out for false prophets. Jesus says you can know whether a prophet is true or false by the observable fruit of his life and doctrine. We know them objectively by their moral and doctrinal fruit, not subjectively by the fruity way they make us feel about them. A good fruit indicates a healthy tree. Bad fruit indicates a diseased tree. There is no such thing as a tree that's been crossbred and mixed. Now here's a litmus test for you. Have you ever wondered why there are so many false prophets in the world? Have you ever wondered about that? I just gave you a kind of a scope of biblical history to show you that they've always been around. We've been warned that they're always going to be around. Why are they here? Well, we don't have to speculate, do we? For God reveals to us in His Word why there are so many false prophets among us. One reason there are so many false prophets in the world is because the serpent continues to reproduce other serpents and to scatter them all over the world. So the spawn of the serpent is everywhere. Another reason there are so many false prophets in the world is because the Lord your God uses them to test you. You heard this in our scripture reading before the sermon. The Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now let that soak in for a moment. When you hear a teacher, or read his book, or watch his movie, or follow him on Twitter, or tune into his program, the Lord your God is testing you, even in that moment, to know whether you will fear Him and love Him with all your heart and soul, and whether you will obey Him and worship Him and serve Him only. Or whether you will leave the narrow way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk and follow the broad way which He commanded you to leave behind. Examine yourselves. Search your hearts, your minds. Search your soul. Are you passing the test or failing the test? Now here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I'm compelled to echo the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm compelled to warn you that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," to Jesus will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of his Father who is in heaven. Now, when Jesus talks about doing the will of his Father who is in heaven, he doesn't mean only the one who finds the secret will of God for his life, whatever that is. He's talking about doing God's revealed will. The will of God that He has revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. How do we know what the will of the Father is? We don't find out by gazing at our navel. We don't find out by waiting for some spine-tingling experience to wash over us. We find out what the will of the Father is by listening to the Word of God. So when Jesus says, only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven, He's pointing us back to the Scriptures. What you learn just in reading the Gospel of Matthew, to give you a few examples, is that it is the will of the Father that we let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and glorify the Father. It is the will of the Father that we love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. That we show no partiality or favoritism to our neighbors. It is the will of the Father that we pray to the Father alone. That we seek His kingdom and His righteousness. That we ask and seek and knock on His door. It is the will of the Father that we should forgive those who sin against us. It is the will of the Father that we confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And above all, it is the will of the Father that we listen to His Son, Jesus Christ. that we hear the words of Jesus and do them. For the Father said, "This is my Son. Listen to Him." Now, we don't know the names of all the false prophets that appeared in Scripture, appear in history, or appear even in our context. But we do know the name of the one true prophet. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the true and better Moses, whom God raised up from His own people to speak God's word to God's people by God's authority. And Scripture says, "You shall listen to Him in whatever He tells you, and whoever does not listen to Him shall be destroyed from the people." Jesus is the true and better prophet who has been given all authority in heaven on earth. He calls you and all people groups everywhere to become His followers, to be washed in water and renamed in the triune God, and to obey everything He commanded you. Jesus is the true and better Son who speaks God's word to God's people by God's authority. Yes, long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, the one true prophet, Jesus Christ. Listen to Him. R.C. Sproul tells a story about the last sermon that Martin Luther ever preached. It was not even 30 years after Luther had sparked the Protestant Reformation by nailing the 95 Theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church. And in that sermon, Luther expressed concern about what was already happening in Germany. The gospel was being preached from pulpits across the land, and yet people were still taking trips, pilgrimages to shrines so they could see the relics, so they could touch Mary's milk and see Joseph's pants and straw from the manger and the bones of John the Baptist and on and on. And why were they doing that? Less than 30 years after the gospel of grace had been recovered by the church. They were doing it because they believed there was power in Joseph's pants. And there was power in Mary's milk. And power in these relics. They thought there was power in the straw from the manger. And they wanted to improve upon the gospel. They looked for power in every place except where God put it. God put the power in the gospel. And if a generation does not believe this, then we have an eclipse of the gospel in that generation. Now, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, "That is so sad. That is so silly. I can't believe they would actually go and pay good money to see Joseph's colorful pants or the bones of a prophet." But haven't you done the same thing? Haven't you done the same thing in your life? Haven't you tried to improve upon the gospel in your own Protestant evangelical way? You would never go see Mary's milk or Joseph's colorful pants, and maybe you don't care a thing about the straw of the manger. But do any of you believe the Holy Spirit is real because you felt a tingle in your spine and got goosebumps on your arm during a worship experience? Do any of you try to hear Jesus calling in some place other than the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures? Do any of you believe heaven is real because you read a book or saw a movie that a kid supposedly experienced? Do any of you think you have witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because you saw the passion of the Christ? Do any of you think that you have heard Jesus speak because you saw the movie The Son of God? You don't have to be Lutheran lapsing back into Catholicism to look for the power of the gospel in other places. You just have to be a careless disciple of Jesus who thinks Jesus is not enough and the gospel is not sufficient and that you will find a way to improve upon it. And there are plenty of false prophets around to help you do it. To help you pursue your will. To find a broad and easy path. A shortcut to life that ends up being a shortcut to death. Now, why am I saying these things to you? I'm saying these things to you because I am jealously concerned for you. I'm concerned for you that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning and craftiness, so also your thoughts might be led astray from a true and pure devotion to Jesus Christ. If someone came along and proclaimed a different Jesus other than the Jesus we're preaching to you, would you be able to detect the difference? If someone offered you a different gospel from the gospel of grace that you've received from us, would you be able to tell the difference? If the serpent came and masqueraded before you as a messenger of light, would you be able to defend and protect yourself against his dark arts? You see, when Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets," it's not a theory. It's not just some religious advice that he gave 2,000 years ago to a crowd of people on a mount somewhere. This is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to you, his followers, his people. Watch out for false prophets. If we fail to heed his command, his warning, if we forget to keep our guard up, we may just find ourselves walking a broad and spacious way all the way to destruction. And this is why Jesus makes it clear to us that discerning between false prophets and true prophets is no laughing matter. It's not a light and momentary thing. It's not something that theologians geek out on. It's something that every disciple of Christ should take seriously. Why? Because according to Jesus, it is a matter of life or death. It is a matter of salvation or destruction. Either we follow the broad way of the false prophets unto destruction and death, or we follow the narrow way of the true prophet, Jesus Christ, unto life and salvation. What will you do? Who will you leave behind? Who will you follow? Let us pray together. O Lord God Almighty, how we love your law. It is our meditation all the day. Your commandment makes us wiser than our enemies, for it is ever with us. We have more understanding than all of our teachers. Your testimonies are our meditation. We understand more than the aged, for we keep your precepts. We hold back our feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. We do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught us. How sweet are your words to our taste, sweeter than honey to our mouth. Through your precepts we get understanding. Therefore we hate every false way. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.